Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, and I'm your host. This podcast is to highlight the life and ministry of Asian American leaders and to network them for advancing God's kingdom in North Carolina and beyond. Today, we have Chow Sil as a guest. Chow is the lead pastor of Lighthouse Community Church of Raleigh. He's also a church planter planting churches in North Carolina for Vietnamese and Montagnard Americans. Hello, Chow. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for coming, and thank you for your willingness to share your wonderful stories through podcast.
Thank you for having me today.
Yeah, I know you already personally, but I'm so excited for this podcast to be used by God for listeners out there from different countries to listen to your story, and God can use these stories to impact them for God's kingdom. So are you ready?
Yes, sir, I am.
Awesome, great. So in this first episode, we normally do personal story. So I want to know more about you and your family and your ministry. So the first question is, can you tell us about your family?
Yes, I have a large family. Totally, I have around nine siblings. All of us are here in America. Mm-hmm. My own family that God has given me is I have one daughter who's 8 and the youngest one who is 3, about to turn 3.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So your first daughter is in elementary school now?
Yes, sir. She's in third grade. She enrolled in Knightdale Elementary School.
Knightdale Elementary School?
Yes, sir.
Oh, great. So, yeah. How about your wife? How long have you been married?
We've been married since 2008, mm-hmm. So that's close to 10 years.
Wow, 10 years already.
Yeah.
Wow.
It just felt like it's not currently, it felt like it's very current.
Yeah, that's right. Time flies,
yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah, good. Now, how did you come to faith in Christ? How did you become a follower of Jesus Christ?
My family, in Vietnam, we are Christians. My family, we attend church regularly, except for me, I guess. I wasn't really into the church thing because I was young. I spent most of my time as a child, I guess like a normal child, didn't really focus in terms of my spirituality. And my family didn't really kind of force me into the faith, but I still consider myself as a Christian. Mm-hmm. When I came here in the state, that's the time when I truly known Christ. Mm-hmm. When I came here, I went to Beacon Baptist Church, mm-hmm. Here in Raleigh. And also, I also went to a Lutheran church, mm-hmm. the church that sponsored my family. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, I went to Beacon Baptist Church because they have this program that every Sunday they would come to the house and pick us up by the bus, and then they have this program for. So that's the time when I really got to know Christ. And not only by going to church that I know Christ, but it's by reading the Bible that I actually really know Christ. Mm-hmm. I think the Bible that I have read and actually really changed my mind and changed my heart in terms of knowing Christ is that the book right there is the Message Bible that you have there. Mm-hmm. And then when I read the book, I think I read Luke chapter 15 about the prodigal son. Mm-hmm. And when I read that, God convicted my heart, mm-hmm. because I seem to relate myself as that lost son, the prodigal son. Mm-hmm. And then I fell into my knee and I prayed God. And from then on, I have a very close relationship with God. I felt like God is present with me all the time because I acknowledge Him and I believe in Him. And then He somehow, I felt like He's always present in me from then on.
Who is the biggest influence in your life?
I have to say that Billy Graham. When I didn't know Billy Graham when I was in Vietnam, but when I came to the state, I would watch him on TV when they did their evangelisms. It touched my heart, because when I see him, he has such a compassion within his heart to do an outreach for people. And then not only that, he focuses on, you know, one particular in America, but I guess doing worldwide in terms of television, and that really affects me. So like, God has used him mightily, and I really, really, really find him to be the person that really influenced me.
You know, Billy Graham is from North Carolina, right? So have you met him in person?
No, I have not met him in person. Mm-hmm. I wish I have had
Right, he's so influential.
Yeah, I have, honestly, I haven't gone to his library yet. Something that I would like to do in the future is just to visit there.
Right, yeah, it's a great place. Now, what is your, I think you already shared about Luke chapter 15.
Yes.
But what is your life verse from scripture?
I have to say, to me, it's John 6, 68. It's about Peter. He said, to whom should we go? For you have the word of eternal life. Mm. To me, it is very important on my walk with Christ. Because beyond Christ, there's no hope for salvation except Christ, because Christ has the word of eternal life. I'm saying, if somebody has claimed to say to have eternal life, like Peter, I mean, I would definitely put my trust in him and believe in him. Mm. And also, my other favorite verse is John 3:15, and everyone knows that. Mm-hmm, so, because it gives us the reason why, and it gives us the hope. Mm.
How old were you when you came to the United States?
I think I was already in my teen year, about like 15, 16. Mm-hmm. So technically I experienced a lot of difficulty in terms of English, and I think that's how they let me in as a ninth grade, I believe, and by God's grace, I survived high school and passed high school, and I graduated, and then I enrolled in Inuvik Community College first, and then studied there. I because of my limited English, they put me into ESL program, which I found that to be very extremely helpful when I was there. Mm-hmm. They actually let me study that and ESL, and then take a regular English after, I believe it was 2 years afterwards. Actually, it took that long to master the language.
Now, you lived in the United States for a while. Now, how is your life different in the United States than living in the in Vietnam?
It is a massive difference. In Vietnam, my family is, the way we live our life is based on agricultural, which means that we're growing vegetables, we plant rice paddies. The life is extremely difficult because we don't have the technological advantage like we have here. We have to use our own body and strength to do the task that we are doing daily. But in here in America, not that we better life here in terms of particular, it's easier here. The opportunity here is much more different and better in so many ways. Here, we are exposed to many, many, many good things, which I have appreciate all the times, all the education that we are exposed. When it comes to my life, in Vietnam, I wasn't really educated. I guess I'm missing the whole 9 year of being in elementary school. I believe I was only in fifth grade, where I'm supposed to be. That time I'm supposed to be in high school already. You know, by 15, junior year. No, not junior year. I mean like freshman year already. But I wasn't. So I thank God for giving me an opportunity, and then I felt like it is God's guidance, and God see the fit for my family and for myself. That's why He allowed us to come to the United States, to have a different life. The life that we live in Vietnam is very difficult. Mm-hmm. it's very difficult. So sometimes, if you can allow me to say more a little bit about it, sometimes we have only two meals, mm. 2 meals a day, mm. and then 2 bowls of rice without meat. It's very hard, extremely rare. Most of the time, when we have meat, we normally we have to go out to. Sometimes we raise our livestock mainly for purpose to sell. But back then the economy was so bad. I mean, the chicken is only cost maybe 50 cents. You know, very hard for a living. So, basically the way we survive is we grow our own food. We raise our own farm, but livestock, but mostly for sale, but still not enough.
Now, brother, you're from Vietnam, but you are Montagnard.
Yes, sir.
You're a Montagnard American. So, can you tell us about who the Montagnard people are?
Yeah, the Montagnard are the indigenous people of Vietnam. As history is telling us, because some people are writing the history that we are. Basically, we immigrated a long time ago from the South, Southeast Asia, mainly from Malaysia, Indonesia. We can tell actually though, by the language that we are spoken is similar to in Indonesia and Malaysian people. Mm. The language is pretty similar. That's the Montagnard, they are the indigenous people, and we have about 43 tribals, except the king, which he could be like the king is the majority, which is the Vietnamese.
I heard that statistically North Carolina has the number one population for Montagnard people compared to other states.
Yeah, that's correct. What I have heard is that here we have, I guess the population is growing, mm-hmm. the younger generation is growing. Mm-hmm. Back then, I think the first one arrived here for the Montagnard was in 1986. Those who came from, I guess, the Cambodia, mm-hmm. refugee from Cambodia and from Laos, I guess. I'm not so clear on that. Mm-hmm. But they came here. I know for sure that they arrived here in 1986,
mm. almost then, 32 years ago.
Mm. Yeah, mm. yeah. That's the first group people that came in to mm. the North Carolina. Okay, the reason why I felt like they want or the government, the U.S. government, know that it's because the weather they have here is kind of a little bit similar to Vietnam. And the way of life here is also the same thing here.
North Carolina.
Yeah, mm. because here you can, back then there are a lot of farms and you know, tobacco, and they can grow a lot of vegetables. I felt like the government knows what they're doing. Mm. That's why they place us here.
Mm-hmm. Now my last question is, what's your vision? What are you most passionate about?
Well, I have many different passions, but particular when it comes to ministry, I really like getting together and having a close relationship with other people and connecting with other people. I want to do something great. I honestly want to do that, but somehow right now I feel like I'm just one step to that vision, so I am still working on it. I want to connect with other Montagnard people. I don't see a lot of younger generation people into ministry. But yet that's something that I want. I want a lot of young people who's on fire for the Lord.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you.
In the next episode, we want to know more about your current ministry.
Yes, sir.
Listeners, if you want to hear more podcasts from us, find NC Asian American Ministries at your podcast and subscribe it. You can listen to our weekly podcast update. Thank you so much, and I'll see you in the next episode.